Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk, your voice of the gospel speaker, and I thank God for this privilege and honor I have today of preaching a short message in the gospel of His sovereign grace. Now, those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be reading two portions of the Word of God. The first is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now especially I want you to notice that first portion, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now the second scripture is found in Paul's writing to the churches in Rome. That's Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll read together verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of His Word. Well, friends, today we've read together two portions of the Word of God, and in each of these two scriptures, we have brought before us the fact of persuasion. Persuasion. And friend, with the help of God's Holy Spirit, I should like to preach the gospel briefly today concerning the sovereign grace of God. Yes, from these wonderful verses of Scripture. Now, in our first text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, we read, knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, friends, this vital statement from the Word of God is written for the benefit of those who are children of God through faith in Christ. And it's also very interesting to note that this positive expression from the Word of God follows a verse which reminds the Christian that they are to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of their faithfulness. Now, friend, I don't believe that it's a mere coincidence that these two verses are in succession. Ah, no. The Holy Spirit of God makes no mistakes. And here in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11, we read first of all concerning the judgment seat of Christ, and then we read these words. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, there are a lot of professing Christians today who don't like this program because, as they say, I preach too much about the wrath of God. They would rather I spend this valuable time expounding the love of God, the more abundant life, and the glories of heaven. Well, listen, friends, I make no apology for the manner in which I preach the gospel. I'm not here to please my fellow man. I'm not here to preach a diluted gospel either. I'm here today before this microphone to preach the truth of God's word without fear or favor of men. I'm here because I have a sincere desire to see the lost and hell-bound sinner brought to a saving knowledge of sin forgiven. I'm here because I feel exercised by the Holy Spirit of God to warn the sinner to flee from the wrath to come. Yes, my friends, I'm here today with a clear conscience before God and in view of the judgment seat of Christ. I can honestly say, like the Apostle Paul, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. And to you so-called Christians who don't believe in preaching about the wrath of God, tell me, what were you saved from anyway? If you're saved, were you not saved from hell and the lake of fire? Were you not saved from the terrible wrath to come? Yes, my friend, if you're a real child of God today, I said a real child of God, you should be praising God for a radio program like this, which preaches the truth of God's word. Friends, listen. If there were no hell awaiting the Christ rejecter, then I wouldn't be here today. No, I'd be living a life with the philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry. But friend, I have the Bible in my hands today, and this book tells me that if I don't persuade men to trust Christ because of the terror of the Lord, then I must give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. Friends, these radio broadcasts consume a lot of my time. But I thank God for the privilege and honor I have of telling forth the wonderful story of God's redeeming love. Yes, my friend, the gospel means good news. But remember this. it's only good news because of the bad news. The bad news is if you're not saved, you're lost and you're going down to hell. The good news is you don't have to go there. That's what the gospel is all about. And that's the reason I believe in telling it like it is. Yes, I could spend every evening at home enjoying the fellowship of my family and friends and let the world go literally to the devil. But friend, when I read verses like these regarding my responsibility to the sinner in view of the judgment seat of Christ, well, I must tell forth the truth of God's word. Yes, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. Now let me say this. Whether or not professing Christians approve of my messages will in no way deter me from preaching the truth of God. Because I'm not here today seeking the commendation of my brethren. Ah, no, I'm here in love for the sinner, and I seek the approval of God alone. Now, friends, I'm not going to take the time today to detail for you the many times we read in the Bible about the terror of the Lord. But I'm sure that most of you know how the wrath of God was evidenced in the great flood of Noah's day, when only 8 souls were saved in the ark. God's wrath was also evidenced in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, when only 3 souls escaped the judgment and wrath of God. Yes, time and again, we read of the wrath of God being manifested against His creatures who rebel against His word. Neither wonder the Apostle Paul declares in our text, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now let's take a look at our second text for today, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. There we read these words, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, how I thank God for these wonderful words. And friend, I never read these words but what I don't think of a man who lived to be 56 years old before he got saved in the Shadyside Hospital in Pittsburgh. He was a highly religious man, a wonderful father and husband, but he had never been born again until he was saved on what proved to be his deathbed. And I can recall the day I visited him, yes, 2 or 3 days after I'd seen him the first time in the hospital. He was saved, and I read these scriptures to him, and after I read them, I looked at him, and with tears streaming down his face, he said, please, please read them again. Friend, I had never been asked to repeat the reading of the scriptures before, and I must confess I was broken up. I was all choked up with emotion as I read these verses over again to this new creature in Christ. Yes, these are wonderful words of assurance to everyone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to everyone who has admitted their sinful condition in God's sight, and who has trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone for their soul salvation. You know, there are a lot of people today who preach the falling away doctrine. That's the diabolical doctrine that a person can be saved today and lost tomorrow. But I don't know how they believe this in view of what these verses say. Listen to these scriptures again. The Apostle Paul declares in Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, thank God for His unspeakable gift. Sinner friend, on the authority of this blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God, I want you to know that if you'll repent of your sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, nothing, absolutely nothing, and no one shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, the eternal security of the believer is not dependent upon our holding out, but it's dependent upon the veracity of God's word and the complete and eternal satisfaction of God with the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, we read that the Christian is kept by the power of God. Again, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, for I am persuaded, there's that word again, for I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Yes, sinner friend, if you commit your soul into the safe keeping of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be sure he is able to keep you and present you faultless before the throne of God. In other words, if you, as an individual sinner before God, will acknowledge that you can't do a thing to save your own soul, and then simply throw yourself upon the mercy of God and plead the blood of Jesus Christ as the atonement for your soul, you'll be saved. Yes, you'll be saved. You know, over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, we read that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanses us from all sin. I thank God today for the assurance we have of salvation. In John chapter 10, beginning at verse 27, here's what we read. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Never perish. "No man shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father and I are one." Friend, listen. If you'll acknowledge your sinnership in God's sight today, admit that you can do a thing to save your own soul, and then look by faith to Calvary, and there see the Lord Jesus Christ dying in your guilty room and in your place, this book that I hold in my hand, the Bible, says you'll be saved. Not only for time, but thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bow our hearts in thy presence again today to thank thee for thy well-beloved Son. We thank thee for his great heart of love that took him all the way to Calvary and the shedding of that precious blood which alone cleanseth for all sin. Father, we ask thy blessing upon thy word today and claim thy promise that thy word shall not return void. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And if I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too glad to do so. Address all letters of inquiry to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. That address again is the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, P.A., 15134. And now until our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.